Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, I hope it's not out of turn to say, but Jesus is the OG, the original gardener. It's not really a surprise that he always seems to be using gardening or planting parables, because if you think about it, he planted humanity straight into a garden that they might live there and have their lives abundantly. And even then, when he was first resurrected from the dead, the first place he appeared to his disciples was in the garden. Jesus, you can kind of see from Scripture, loves the idea of gardening. And so it shouldn't surprise us either that he enjoys showing off so much of the truth of faith through the analogy of the garden. And today he uses two parables. One about the growth of something like wheat and the other of the mustard seed. And we're going to start with the latter parable first. Now, you can absolutely go the wrong way with the mustard seed. I should know. It was preached the wrong way to me for years. We need to understand, when Jesus is talking about the mustard seed here, it's not quite the same as when he mentions the mustard seed either in any other place, right? Where he says that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Jesus, we know, of course, chastises his apostles for the little faith that they have. But this doesn't mean that you know, you've got a little bit of faith and some people have a lot of faith. It certainly doesn't mean that you are supposed to be the grower of such faith. This is what I was taught when I was younger. That yes, God planted the seed of faith in me by baptism, but now I'm responsible for making this grow. There is one sense in which this is true, and we're going to talk about this. But the reality is, we don't do this. Let's put it this way. Science still has not yet figured out what it is that causes a seed to grow. Right? I mean, yeah, we know water and sunshine and nutrients and good soil and protection from the heat. We know all of that. But what is it that causes that literal spark that splits the seed and out shoots forth a plant? Do you know, just recently, actually, within the last couple of years, scientists were actually able to observe the moment of conception between sperm and egg. And right when that conception happened, there was a spark of light that came out. Do you know that? So when we talk about the spark of life, and we've been talking about that for, what, hundreds of years? That's literally what we were talking about, and we had no idea. This is the same thing. We don't know what causes that spark there, what causes the spark in the seed. Faith is actually just the same. Faith in Christ has been planted into you, and we know what's necessary for it to grow, right? Word, sacrament, even the community of believers. We know this. But what's the spark that makes faith grow? What makes some grasp so firmly onto it that they literally die confessing the name of Jesus, Jesus as they die, right on their lips? And what causes others to treat it like some pretty book you put up on the shelf and you only bring it down to show it off? No one really knows. God knows. He makes faith grow. And he promises that if one is in the Word, if one is receiving the sacraments, and that must be done within the community of believers, because you won't find that anywhere else, then God will make it grow. It must grow. That's its natural response. For it not to work, well, this would be like watering a plant, but trying to shove the buds back down into the stem to make sure that it never changes. You see, you can't do that. You provide a plant what it needs, it will grow. You provide faith what it needs, and it will grow. Now, here's where you are responsible. You are responsible for giving the faith what it needs because only you can drag yourself to church. Now, I know when you're younger, like my kids, your parents drag you, right? And perhaps some of you are nearing the age when your kids will drag you to church. That's true. But ultimately, you are individually responsible for bringing yourself to the place where your faith can get what it needs. Ultimately, though, God is responsible for making it grow, for giving it shape, for giving it life and vitality. See, he has sown the seed of his word lavishly upon the earth so that he has given to her the things which it needs. The word creates faith, and faith then is nourished by more of the word. And that's because God fulfills his promises, even the promise that we heard out of Ezekiel 17 today. God takes the word and plants it high upon a mountain. He takes his son, the word of God in flesh, and he plants him high upon the mountain of Jerusalem, and he opens up that seed to the world, crucifying him for your redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. And there upon that tree, every bird, every type of person, every piece of creation will come to dwell under the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord promised that he would do this, and then he did it. And now he continues to deliver the fulfillment of that promise to you today. And that's what the first parable is about. That God would scatter the seeds of his word all around, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And if man were to do this, well, we wouldn't even get the first concept as to how or why this would work. But as it is God, the creator of all things, he guides and directs the word to bring forth its fruit to fruition. I love living in Wisconsin this time of year, because you can start to see, I growing up, whenever we would spend the summers with my grandmother over in Fitchburg, I would love this because actually this morning reminded me of this: hot, humid, and smelled like cow. It's fantastic. But I love this because she lived right next to a farm, and you could see behind her house the fields just starting to grow. And you could start to see the corn take shape, right? First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear, so to speak. And finally, when the plant has risen up high enough, the farmer comes through and cuts it down. And we enjoy it, don't we? And it is the same with the word. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And finally, when the plant of faith has risen to its fullness, God doesn't just leave it there to wither and rot and die, but in fact cuts the grain down that it might produce even more, both in the seeds that it leaves behind and in the purpose for the grain, which is the sustenance of creation. When you think about it, our faith given to us in our baptism, that faith which grasps on to the truth of God's word, which trusts in Christ Jesus for forgiveness, life, and salvation, our faith has to have a purpose. Grain doesn't just grow for its own sake. Your faith does not grow for its own sake, but God provides it to flourish and provides the mean for it to do so, so that it can be a witness to others, to show them where they must come to receive the same. And God spreads his word so lavishly. That means he's not doing it just for me, and he's not doing it just for you, but he's doing it for all of us, for the entire earth. And soon his harvest will come. Soon the time is ended for us to bear fruit. Are you? Are you bearing the fruit of God? Do you love learning about his word? Do you love learning what he would tell us? Do you receive each true teaching from God's Word as a blessing or as a burden? Do you want to spend more time in His Word, in the divine service? Yes, even Bible study. Do you remember your baptism with joy, holding on to it whenever trial and cross should grieve you? Do you remember your baptism when you rise up and when you go to sleep, that you may have no fear for what may come? Do you receive His supper with thanksgiving, desiring it more and more? Do you want to eat His flesh and drink His blood that you might have life and have it abundantly? Is it given enough? Or do you treat all of God's good gifts like the third donut? Yes, that's right. I said the third donut. Because remember, the first donut is delicious, right? It's filled with wonderful things. It reminds us of the goodness of all that God has given. Imagine biting into that hot donut right out of the fryer, right? Now, the second donut that you have is good too, right? It's sugary, and you might start to feel a little bit guilty, but man, it's good, and so you gobble that straight down. But the third donut, well, you start to feel, maybe this is just too much. You might feel a little guilty about it, that you're enjoying these so much. Might make your tummy upset, might avoid the third donut just because it's one too often, right? Is that how we treat the Word of God? Like it's somehow going to be for us a third donut? You see, God's Word and sacraments cannot be too much to one who holds to Christ. If you trust Jesus, you cannot get enough of Him. Whether He comes in the Word read from the lectern, or whether the Word read or explained in the pulpit, whether He comes in the Bible study, whether He comes at the altar, whether He comes at the font, whether He comes in absolution, Christians desire Christ. Because we know that's how we continue to grow. And we must continue to grow until He decides to take us to Himself. He is coming to take His harvest home. Are you ready? Today you are. Absolutely. Today you have gathered in His Word and in His sacraments. You've confessed your sins. You've been forgiven in Christ. You've read His Word. You've read, marked, learned, and inwardly digested it. You are preparing to step toward the altar to receive His abundant mercy in your mouths. And you're going to walk past the font to do so. You are ready today. God is growing you even now. You have brought yourself here. And God is doing just as He promised. So if I can encourage you, remain in Him. Remain in His Word. Our Lord here will tend you as a gentle gardener, pruning off that which will do you ill and giving you that which you need for everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus loves His creation, but He loves you most especially, which is why He's given to you the gift, the seed of faith, the seed which will bring you everlasting life. And He's going to tend that seed in you, that you may grow to the harvest, and there gather with all creation under His loving, outstretched branches of arms. And there you will dwell securely forever. You have His promise. He is and has fulfilled it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.